It looks so hard for him to throw the football sometimes that I wonder if there is a little mouse underneath his helmet that is pulling on his hair and like making it. And this is how we're doing it now with Ben Roethlisberger.
Honestly, we've had a lot of references on the show, Dangles. That might have been the oddest one.
You guys don't like Ratatouille?
Yeah, I never had a mouse pull my hair, so it was hard for me to really get in that mindset.
All right, get with the program here. Ratatouille is fantastic. I will die on that hill.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. And this is it. We have climbed long and hard through 17 grueling weeks of gambling to now reach the pinnacle. Week 18 of the NFL. Used to be game 256, now it's game 272 to end us on the Sunday night lock. That's coming up next. And we'll also have the King of the Coast section, a competition that's been going on all season long where we keep track of our bets. There's a point system attached, and yours truly has been leading arguably 16 of the 17 weeks, but is now in last place, and I'm a little bit worried it's not going to come to fruition in week 18. But King of the Coast is coming. Sunday Night Lock is coming. We're starting off the show. Usually we do the Thursday night game. There is no Thursday night game. Now let's go back to the college football playoff. Last week, Dangles and I did pretty damn well in the college football playoff. I believe we both hit our bets. Schaefer the Sharp did not bet on his Michigan Wolverines, but he also didn't hit his bet because he bet on the other underdog team that did not come close to covering. Schaefer the Sharp, before we go on, there's rumors that your boy Jim Harbaugh is not long for that Michigan world. There's rumors he's sniffing at open positions or potential open positions in the NFL. As a Michigan man who just had to put his team to bed, I don't want to drudge up, you know, old hardships here. But if your boy Jim Harbaugh leaves, what's going on in Michigan?
It's never going to happen in a million years. These rumors, they persisted for the first 3 years when he actually was doing good, and then when he was coaching like shit or his team or his record was like shit, never happened. Not worried about it. Now, if there's a point where he actually gets a clear exit strategy, then possibly. Won't happen this year. I would back up the Brinks truck on that. He's not going anywhere. People talk about the pay cut and, oh, blah, 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 blah. Listen, he is really trying to build something there of substance long term. He's not going anywhere. Don't pay attention to it. No merit.
Okay. I mean, it would be interesting for him to go to Jacksonville and succeed where Urban Meyer failed. That'd be a funny little tie on that bow.
Yeah.
Dangles, we're diving into the college football playoff. Me and you hit our college football bets. And as we look forward, we have a couple of, obviously, NFL postseason. Your team is likely in the postseason. My team is in the postseason. It's going to be a fun going down the stretch here. And we have some games we're going to play in the postseason. But let's get a sense. Pats, last game against Miami here. They lost week one. What do you you never know who's going to play, who's going to start, who's going to sit. What's going on with Patriots and Miami this week?
I mean, I'm not going to get too much into it because I might have something to say on our King of the Coast competition about that. How could I let the last week go without not having some kind of bet on that game? But I will just say I expect the Patriots to show up. I think they will be there to play and to win because they do have a small chance, potentially, if everything, a lot of things need to go their way, to win the AFC East. And if you don't think Bill Belichick wants to do his part to at least put them in a position to make that happen, then you don't know Coach very well. So I'll talk a little more about that game later on, but he's going into that game to win. We are going into that in that game to win, and I know all about their struggles in Miami, and I don't care.
Maybe Ja'Marr Chase sits too, and Mac Jones has a hell of a day, saves us from a long-lost bet. Let's move on, though. It's time to talk about the college football playoff. This game, the championship, I should say, this game happens after the last week of the NFL season, but we're going to start the show with it. Let's dive into it. Dangles, what do we have for the call for the SEC championship?
Yeah, once again, the SEC championship, an identical literal rematch of the game that we saw for that particular matchup. This time it's for all the marbles, the national championship trophy, formerly the crystal ball. It's the Georgia Bulldogs 13-1 against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Also 13-1 Georgia, 9-5 against the spread this year. Bama 8-6 line in this game. Bama's given 3 points to the Dogs here, the best defensive team in the nation all season long, and a lot of people say maybe the best defensive team in the history of college football. Total in this game, boys, 52 points, a high total, and something I could think that between these two teams they could hit pretty easily.
No, sorry, I just want to make sure you said the Tide is giving 3 points. They are getting 3 points.
Oh, sorry, getting. Yes. If I said giving, yeah. I apologize.
That was going to change my bet. That's the only reason why I asked. Double check myself.
Well,
Dogs are 3-point favorites. Let's make it clear.
That's a big clarification, because Alabama, since I believe 2008, has been an underdog six times. And they've won 5 of those games outright. So it's going to be interesting to see if that trend holds in the biggest game of them all. Shay for the Sharp, before you go, I'm going to go first, because, again, I started last week. It felt good when I hit it, so I'm going to start again, maybe keep that trend going. I watched the least college football, but I watched all of both of those bowl games. I had real money on an SEC teaser. Very happy it hit. Sorry again, Drew. This one is going to be interesting, but I remember bowl games pass. I remember Alabama games pass in these big under the lights prime time. It all comes down to this games, like an Alabama LSU or an Alabama Clemson or an Alabama Auburn. All of these games come down to no coach wants to make a mistake, and every coach is going to coach that defense up to pound the shit out of the other team. I know that number is 52, and Dangle said both of these schools can hit that really easily. I know Bryce Young is a Heisman winner. I know Stetson Bennett played great against Michigan. That whole team on Georgia and on Alabama, they have offensive weapons that are going to be first-round picks everywhere, but that defense is where this game is going to shine. I think it's a slow game. I think it's a ball control game, possession game. Punts are going to really matter in this game. I am taking the under 52, and I'm running away with it. Very good on unders this year. Feel really good about this one. Alabama and Georgia, under 52. Shay for the Sharp.
Well done, Tony. That was actually a very nice handicap, and I tend to lean your way. The reason I want to go first, because I kind of have a complex handicap on this one, so it might take me a while to explain myself.
You took Nick about Saban. 7 minutes on Michigan last week, so please.
Nick Saban is a 3-point underdog with a Heisman Trophy winner that a team he beat 3 weeks ago by 17 points. Give me the Tide plus 3. It's not rocket science, people, and this is one where, you know, if you lose to Stetson Bennett, tip your cap to Stetson Bennett. Great job, Stetson. Well done. I mean, what are we thinking about here? This is the only side you can play. I know the analytics, and I got bit by them 10 days ago with my Wolverines. I mean, on paper, Georgia is the superior team. They really are. Yes. They absolutely are. And Alabama did lose John Metchie, who Jameson Williams gets all the sex appeal, if you will, and the high draft pick. John Metchie was a leading receiver. He's going to be a great pro, I believe, one day too.
Well, so it also changed Jameson Williams' role in the offense. Instead of trying to take the top off the team, he became the possession receiver. And Alabama kind of lacked that, taking the top off against Cincinnati. It might be the same against Georgia.
You're right, but obviously Robinson Jr. ran all over him. And obviously he's not going to be able to do that against UGA. I just think, again, this seems so clear to me, almost too easy. Peeling back the curtain, I do have a futures ticket on Bama here. At like literally plus 125 what their money line is now. I bet that after the SEC championship to win the national championship. I can't believe my odds didn't improve, but here we are. So I'll make it quick. I'll make it simple. Bama plus 3. I do want to recall one time SEC championship was the national championship, 2012 BCS, back when the BCS was a thing. LSU and Bama. I actually made the best bet of my life. I actually
was that
bet.
The 9-6 game?
No, the 9-6 game was the regular season game.
Yeah.
Okay. So LSU won, and they had the rematch. They had the rematch in New Orleans, and everyone was drinking LSU Kool-Aid. LSU Kool-Aid. Would you believe, Shay for the Sharp? Which I'm now that I know more about this, I'm sure these odds were terrible. I actually put $20 on LSU to get shut out. And that score was Alabama 21, LSU nothing. The guy I was watching the game with didn't know. He thought I was like Albert Einstein. He's like, how in the hell did you do that? Like, oh, piece of cake. But that's just a Shay for the Sharp Hall of Fame moment. So There you go, Dangs.
That might be a future segment for the show. Shave for the Sharp Hall of Fame moments. We put some music behind it.
Yeah. $20 bet, baby, something, at 50 to 1.
Something, pomp and circumstancy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Dangles
exactly.
Finishes
That's a
out.
Jefferson turning into 10 C notes, by the way.
Thank you. Well, Dangles, I mean, finishes out, buddy.
I'm not going to belabor the point anymore here. I've also got the Crimson Tide plus 3 in this game. I think it's easy as pie. I was kind of digging around for bets on this, and I kind of looked at it, and I'm like, what am I thinking about here? What am I really trying to find here? A Nick Saban coach defense, you know, they're always going to be competing. They were, you know, top 10, top 15 defense this year. I'm not betting. This is like very Bel, you know, and I, you know, these two are close, Belichick and Saban. I'm not going to bet against Belichick in a situation he's been in a million times. It took Dabo Swinney a few years to get the feel for Alabama before they were able to beat them. Had to go at it a couple times in national title games. I'm taking Bama with the points here. I think they'll keep it close. I this leaves the door open for me to root for the dog still. As long as this game stays close, I think it will be. You know, I talked last week about how Georgia likes to get out in front. And maybe they do in this game, but the question is, you know, can Stetson Bennett keep them in the game down the stretch in the third and fourth quarter and play against the Nick Saban defense for four quarters? I think this is going to be a close game. I'm taking Bama with the points here, plus 3.
See, now this brings up a question that I was going to ask Drew. I'm happy I did, and I'm happy I saved it, but this seems like the obvious hit. Bama is, I know they're not statistically the better team, but they're Ala freaking Bama, and they're an underdog in the national championship. Been there before. Every recruiting class has won, blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all. So in my mind, the public is hammering this plus 3 line for Alabama. But obviously, that has not moved the line. So I assume there's money coming in on the Georgia side as well, more than just the Georgia fan base. So, Drew, do you think the sharps are on Georgia and the public's on Bama, or is it sort of a mixed bag, enough money coming in both sides that this line hasn't moved too much?
It's a great question, Tony. And with all the action of the new week 18 of the NFL season, I would wait till Monday morning to really see where that goes. I can tell you, I can't see this thing getting over 3.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way. If it gets to 3.5, it's going to be a flood on Bama money. I can see it trickling down. I have nothing to report about sharp money coming down on either side right now, but it's a great point, and I do think come Monday we will see a lot of activity, and it'll be interesting to see where that activity is placing their wagers. Remember, the last time these two teams played in the national championship, Georgia really was the superior team, had Bama second and 26 in overtime, needed a stop to win the national championship. Freshman Tua Tagovailoa, two freshmen, Devonta Smith, Curtins, Bama wins a natty. That was a great game.
That was an amazing game.
So it's going to be, I regardless, Monday night, tune in.
Gonna
be
yeah, it's going to be a lot be of on. Fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll be an interesting game. You guys both have Bama. I have the under 52. But that's it for the college football playoff, the college football championship. Let's move on to the NFL, the professional league, the big boys league, of which Antonio Brown is no longer a part of. The Sunday Night Lock is coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
The best part about late NFL scheduling, especially the last week of the season, is they move the entire slate around to make sure that the best possible game is on Sunday night. This year is no different. These might not be the best two teams, but it is a definition of a playoff game. Sure, there are scenarios that one team could lose, and if another team loses, they still make the playoffs. But the simplest way to explain it is you win this game, and you're in. Dangles, what do we have for our final Sunday night lock of the year?
Win and in indeed, and what better way to do it than an AFC West gunslinging shootout? We have the Los Angeles Chargers heading to Vegas to take on the Raiders at, what is it, Allegiant Stadium? 9-7, both of these teams coming into this game at 9-7.
Amazing.
Chargers 8-8 against the spread, Vegas 7-9. Against the spread. The line, 3 points in favor of the Chargers from our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. The total in this game, 49.5 points. And as you said, Tony, the winner of this game is in the playoffs.
I think as an AFC team, if I'm already in the playoffs, if I'm like a Buffalo or a New England or someone who's going to be a division winner but going to be playing a wild card weekend, I think I'd much rather see the Raiders. But as Drew said on our last podcast, Derek Carr should actually get MVP votes for a reason, because he just won't die. This team won't go away. The Chargers are scarier on paper. They should win this game. But the Raiders, especially if they get Darren Waller back, you just don't know. Very excited to watch this game. I'm rooting for the Chargers in heart. That's not where I'm betting, though. I'm 5-11 on Sunday Night Football. That's not good. By any metric, that's not good. 5-11. So I'm going to go first here, and I'm going to give you a bet that I, like you guys said, with Bama being +3, you don't know how the line was this way. I'm 6-3 when taking Chargers games. I'm 6-2 when taking Raiders games. So I do have a good handle on both of these teams. And we know how bad the Chargers are against the run. They've been better the past few weeks, but they're still in the bottom of the metric, no matter what way you look at it, when stopping the run. And the lead rusher for Las Vegas Raiders, they don't run the ball often, but they do kind of have a one-horse system there. It's Josh Jacobs. And his number on DraftKings right now for rush yards is 53.5. 53.5. If he gets his normal workload and plays the whole game, and I don't see any injuries out there that tell me otherwise, he should be able to hit this number against a Chargers team that loves giving up chunk plays on the ground. Josh Jacobs, 53.5 over rush yards is my Sunday night lock. Let's get to 6-11 on the season. Oh man, I can't believe I'm that bad. Dangles, you're 7-9 on Sunday Night Lock. You hit your last one with your Green Bay teaser along with the under. Thank you again, Kirk Cousins, for not playing in that game. What's your Sunday Night Lock for the AFC West showdown?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think I wanted to stay away from the spread in this game and the total as well. I went with a prop as well. By the way, Tony, Josh Jacobs was limited in practice on Wednesday. Hopefully nothing goes wrong the rest of the week. But
didn't want to hear that, you know, Dangles. Didn't want to hear that.
I hope you'd look into that before you make a bet on the guy. I'm going to go with instead the other running back, Austin Ekeler. Look, if the Chargers want to win this game, and you better believe they want to win this game, he is going to have to be part of their passing game. It is one of the things that he does best. He's able to give them opportunities on third down if they're in third and long situations. It opens up the playbook a little bit, opens up some play action, opens up screen opportunities where you might not catch the defense napping. I think they're going to be throwing the ball to him, incorporating him into the offense. I'm going for his over on receiving yards at 31.5. I don't have any fun trend stat to give you here and a reason why this. I just feel like he is going to be part of that offense if they want to win this game. And I also just I love the way they're gonna fight hard, you know, after last week. Derwin James was mic'd up in that game last week that they won, and he was like, you know, he's talking to Coach Staley after the game in a way. It's kind of like we just won it one, and I don't care. We want to win by more. That team wants to prove they can win and get into the playoffs. The Raiders can't put points on the board. I like the Chargers here, and I'm going with Austin Ekeler's over on receiving yards, 31.5.
31.5 receiving yards for Ekeler. His rushing yards was also around 50-something Jacobs was. And again, Dangles, I don't want to hear that Jacobs is injured. We'll see what happens, though. Schaefer the Sharp, you're 8-8 on Sunday Night Locks. 8-8. This win or loss here is going to determine whether you had a profitable season or a losing season on Sunday night. Where are you going? Final game of the year.
Guys, you heard my impassioned monologue about Derek Carr and about the leadership of this man and just his ability to get the best out of his teammates and really just an inspiring season. that had everything that you could have possibly imagined, you know, off the field go wrong for the Raiders, and yet they're in this position. So it shouldn't be a surprise that my Sunday night lean will be the Chargers minus three. And the reason why is I don't know the tangible. I really love an ex player's perspective on this, because I did some road and home splits, and these two teams are literally opposite. The Chargers have played three playoff teams on the road. They are 3-0 ATS. They are 3-0 straight up. The Vegas Raiders at home have lost to teams like the Bears, the Washington football team, gotten blown out by Kansas City and the Bengals. Now, that's nothing to cry home about. But what this comes down to, and you said you're correct, Tony, in saying that the Chargers are of atrocious run defense. I agree with that. But I also think everyone knows each year there's a team in the playoffs that get sneak in the playoffs that have no business being there, and they have no chance to win the Super Bowl. And I think players on the team know that. Like the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC, they're not winning the Super Bowl. If the Saints or the Ravens,
I mean, that's going to happen when you add two extra wild card spots and almost allow literally half the league to be in the playoffs. I'm not saying that against you, Jay, for the Sharp. I'm just saying it's fucking stupid that we have 14 goddamn teams in the playoffs.
You're right, but like if the Saints or the Steelers, God forbid, get in, that team's not getting to the Super Bowl.
What are we
if
doing?
The Raiders,
what are we doing?
If the Raiders get in, they're not going to the Super Bowl. But guess what? The Chargers, remember back in September, they were everyone's kind of Super Bowl sleeper darling pick. This team still has the ability to get to the Super Bowl. They absolutely do. Whenever you have Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler and Mike Williams and Joey Bosa and the piece they have on the defense, they can make a run. This is Staley and Herbert's first real career flag in the sand. This is a big, big game for them.
The championship
for their legacy,
window is
for
open.
Their future. This is huge. I mean, this, I'm not saying this is gravy for the Raiders. Obviously, they have a ton to play for. They didn't think they'd be here 3 weeks ago. Give me the Chargers minus three, a far superior football team. I think a lot more potential if they get in. I think they're a little more motivated here, as motivated as you can be. And I like the Chargers here minus three.
Okie dokie. We got Chargers minus three, Eckler over receiving, myself taking Jacobs over rushing. But that's it, folks. The appetizer's done. It's time to move on to the main course. It's time for the final week of King of the Coast. I'm shaking in my boots, and it's coming up next.
West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate two engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
And here we are, gentlemen. It is time for King of the Coast. This is a game we've been playing all season long. Each of the hosts here gives out five bets for the Sunday slate, three sides, a teaser, and a total. We weight these bets, confidence rank them, and we've been keeping score all season long. That first side we give out is 1 point. That second side is two. That final side, the backup, the Bringstruck side, three big points. The teaser and the total, both two apiece, and on the season. On the season, Schaefer the Sharp has 80 points. Myself, I'm in third place with 75. You see that, Dangles? I didn't even give you the respect of announcing your score second, even though you're in second. That's how highly I think of myself. But no, I'm in last. Dangles is in second with 78. 80 to 78 to 75 after 17 long weeks of this.
Scoreboard don't lie, Tony Squares.
Very excited to see how it finishes. I can get 10 points in this week. Anyone can. And I can catch up to Drew, but I'm going to need some help. But it all comes down to this. We're going to start off with the one-point side, and I'm going to make Shea for the Sharp go first for every single one of these as the rightful leader. Sharp, what's your one-point side?
Guys, I've been very unkind to my dear friend Ryan Hurd, my new friend Austin Huff this year on this podcast, constantly picking against the Titans, constantly badgering the Titans, constantly saying they're not that good, which up to this point they really aren't. But guess what? They're the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm looking at this game. I had the Texans last week, and holy hell, was that a bad beat. My goodness. they were literally up 7-0. Trey Lance, I'll get to him in a little bit. And then next thing you know, it's 23. It's just unbelievable. That was a very, very, very tough beat. So for my one-point side, I am going the Tennessee Titans minus 10.5. I like it in the first half at minus 6.5 as well. But for the sake of the King of the Coast, I'm going to keep it legit. I know we can bet first half size. I like minus 10.5. Here's my logic. Obviously, we know the news. D. Henry coming back. The receivers are getting healthy. And obviously, the Titans have a ton to play for with a win to clinch the one seed. But did you know the last 2 years, this Titans team have actually ended in Houston, just like they're doing on Sunday. And the last 2 years, they've won both games, but they've scored 41 and 35 points. And the time they scored 35 points was with Deshaun Watson at quarterback for the Texans. I promise you, if they score anywhere close to that, they will cover 10.5. And on top of that, the Texans, who kind of had this like smoke and mirror, obviously they beat Tennessee in Nashville when Tennessee was playing a practice squad. They beat the Chargers at home, which was one of the most strangest outcomes of the NFL season. But this team, this Texans team, isn't a stranger to getting blown out by good teams at home. The Rams, Colts, and I'll put the Seahawks in there loosely as they're a bad team, but they beat the Texans team by an average of 22.5 points, and they also have home losses versus the Jets and the Panthers. Mm. I like the Titans to really flex their muscle here, an easy 17-21-point victory. 1 point, Tennessee Titans minus 10.5.
Well, the good news is, Dangle, Shea for the Sharp is 9-14 when taking favorites on the year, so maybe that'll help us this week. Dangles, you're second place in the contest. You're going second here. What's your one-point side?
Well, I'm going to go to a game that I'm disgusted by this bet. This is very much a hold-your-nose bet. I'm really grossed out by this bet. It kind of makes, it just tastes gross. I'm gonna bet the Seahawks to cover against Arizona +7. And my reason is that I think this is probably Russell Wilson's last game as a Seahawk, and I think they're going to want to go out there and ball for him. I think there's guys on this team that have been with him for a long time. They're going to want to play hard. Rashad Penny, for whatever it's worth, has been running the ball really well the last few games. And when the Seahawks have a solid run game, that's when they've been really good. Like, despite bad defenses, even despite bad offensive lines in the past, when they've had a steady run game, that's when Russ is cooked. That's when they've been able to do stuff on offense. So I think that given Rashad Penny's kind of moving this way, they'll be able to move on offense. They just got to keep it within a touchdown here. I'm not asking him to win. I'm not asking him to go in there and blow the Cardinals out. I think the Cardinals probably win this game. I just need him to keep it within a touchdown. I think they can do that. So for my 1 point side, I've got the Seahawks +7 against the Cardinals.
Dangles, you might be second place in King of the Coast rankings, but you have the best win-loss record on the show. You're also 19-11 when taking away team, so I'm interested to see how that bet works out for you. Seattle +7 is your one-point side. Mine, well, I let you guys both take Pittsburgh against me last week in the Monday Night Football game, and it really screwed me in the end. And Big Ben tossed the ball for 40-some-odd times for about 126 yards, a remarkable 2.6 yards per attempt. Congratulations on your final game at Heinz Field, Big Ben. But the good—
By the way, Tony, the first NFL quarterback in history to attempt over 45 passes and throw for less than 130 yards. Remarkable.
Hall of Fame career for the big guy. And this Could be his last game in a Steeler uniform unless Indianapolis somehow loses against Jacksonville, which likely won't happen. Good news is they're playing at the same time as Indy, so they could be scoreboard watching, but both Baltimore and Pittsburgh are going to come out, try to win this game, and hopefully sneak into the playoffs. It's in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson could come back, but all those people in the IR, like Ronnie Staley and all the cornerbacks, they're not coming back for Baltimore. They're still a very bereft team, and this Pittsburgh squad, man, you got to tip your cap to Mike Tomlin. He gets them fighting and gets them somehow in there. So for my 1 point side, I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers to give one last fight. They've been my team all year long. Pittsburgh +5 at Baltimore. I just think it's a closer game than five.
Aren't you a little worried that they just, you know, had their Super Bowl, essentially, that they just completely and totally...
No, because TJ Watt's still fighting for a sack total. A lot of their defensive star players are coming into free agency years. They don't want to end on a low note. And also, it is Big Ben's final game. So I know his final home game did not produce too much offensively. But Najee Harris really showed up for that team, and I think he's going to be able to do the same against Baltimore. And I also think that Lamar, if he plays, is not 100% Lamar. And Huntley, we've seen Huntley be good. I just think I like Pittsburgh better with that defense.
It looks so hard for him to throw the football sometimes that I wonder if there is a little mouse underneath his helmet that is pulling on his hair and like making it and this is how we're doing it now with Ben Roethlisberger.
Honestly, that's we've had a lot of references on the show, Dangles. That might have been the oddest one.
You guys don't like Ratatouille?
Yeah, I've never had a mouse pull my hair, so it was hard for me to really get in that mindset.
All right, get with the program here. Ratatouille is fantastic.
By the way, Najee Harris,
I will die on that hill.
Sorry. Najee Harris, 7.5 rush TDs. Schaefer the Sharp has the over, and he has 7. So let's get in the end zone, Najee, one time.
Schaefer the Sharp, we're going right back to you. It's time to go to the teaser of the week. The teaser is where you take a side like I had Pittsburgh +5. You add 6 to 7 points on it. Suddenly it becomes Pittsburgh +11, Pittsburgh +12. The point is you got to bet two of these, get them both right to hit your teaser. We've been doing it all season long. Schaefer the Sharp, start us off. It's time for you to dive into the teaser land. You are 8-8 on the year.
Wow, another 8-8. Okay, so I got to hit this one okay, I like that. That's going to raise the stakes for me. Like this teaser a lot. My first leg, Tampa Bay -2. I think Brady's going to play just because he needs to know the receivers he's going to have for the playoffs. He
Crazy.
Has to introduce himself.
Crazy.
No AB, no Godwin, a hobbled Evans, kind of a hobbled Gronk. I know they have Perriman and Tyler Johnson and Cameron Brate, but I do think Tommy's going to want to really get himself primed up. He doesn't, you know, knock on wood, he's incapable of getting hurt. And so I do think he'll play the majority of the game. And I hate to say this, Blaine Gabbert is still their backup quarterback, correct?
He is. Super Bowl winner, Blaine Gabbert.
I would feel fine with Blaine Gabbert covering two, playing the entire game against the Carolina Panthers. I really would. So -2 for Tampa Bay. My second leg is a leg where I did something unprecedented last week, Dangles, like you referenced, teasing through the zero. I don't think I've teased through the 10 on the underdog, but I'm going to tease the Atlanta Falcons +10.5. Mm. In what world do the New Orleans Saints cover 10.5 against anybody? I mean, that offense is so bad. And the fact that, again, I somehow lost a Panthers ticket last week because literally I won the under, but I lost the +7. But I really like the Falcons here in division game, knowing that the Saints have to win. You could write a book about all the teams that have to win that just fall short on these games. So I really like Atlanta getting 10 points against the Saints. I think that game's going to be so ugly and, you know, a 3-point game either way. So give me Tampa Bay -2, Atlanta +10.5, 6-point teaser.
After our Brinks truck push last week on Atlanta, Dangles, I'm never going to bet in Atlanta ever again.
No, I was just
going to
say, no, absolutely not. I looked for one quick second at the 4.5 home point, you know, underdog sort of option, and then I remembered that I want to keep my money, and I'm not absolutely not touching that. But maybe as a teaser, I don't hate it as a teaser leg with 10.5 points because, you know, what could happen? What could possibly happen?
No, I just don't want to touch it at all. But on teaser legs, Dangles, again, you hit a teaser last week. You improved to 9-7 on the year with teasers after being 1-5 to start the year. You're hot on teasers at the end of the season. What do you got this week?
I've got a little NFC East dual teaser here. to tell you about tonight. The first leg of which is the Washington football team. I am teasing them down to a minus one because even against the terrible, terrible Giants, I just don't see a world where the Washington football team is a touchdown better than anyone at all. And then I'm also going to tease Dallas down to 1 point from seven against the Eagles. That's a road game for the Dallas Cowboys. I think that one's going to be a shootout. Philly's going to want to win it at home against the division rival. These two teams hate each other. I do think that Dallas wins, but I'm not sure that I can get to minus seven with them. But I like the idea of betting on that game because I think it's going to be a fun one. So I'll get Dallas down to a point. So again, the two legs of that is the football team at minus one and the Dallas Cowboys at minus one, both down from seven in a 6-point teaser.
Dangles, I almost took Dallas myself, but I have enough money on them in our personal winners league that I didn't want to double down on it in King of the Coast. I will, however, join you on the Washington football team minus one because we talked about Joe Judge in that locker room. He's building a culture there, but obviously culture does not mean winning. I do think he personally called out the Washington football team saying we don't have our players fighting on the sidelines during his 11-minute tirade. I guarantee you Ron Rivera and co. heard that and want to come out and show New York exactly how different it is in Washington. The stadium might suck, the owner might suck, but those players do have a lot of on the line in this game. I think Washington football team comes out wins. I have them minus one. I am joining. I said I didn't want to touch Dallas because they're my winners league team. I am touching the Los Angeles Rams because they are my winners league team and because I do believe they beat the San Francisco 49ers, especially if it's Trey Lance or Jimmy with a hurt thumb. They're going to beat this team. I do think New Orleans wins it well and suddenly becomes the seventh seed in an awful playoff game, whoever they play. But LA Rams down to plus one and the Washington football team at minus one. My only problem and the other reason why I took them in this teaser, I am 1-6 when betting on the Rams this year. I am 1-5 when betting on the 49ers. I need to hit one of these bets if these are going to be two playoff teams, or at least the Rams are in the playoffs. I need to feel good. I need to be on the upswing on this Rams team. So let's go Rams. LA plus one, football team minus one. That is my teaser. Shay for the sharp. Your 2-point side, my friend. Where are you going?
All right, guys. I'm going to try to really think through this one here. As you know, the NFL puts these games on the same time schedule so people within the division can't get an advantage, right? So Obviously everyone that's playing for the AFC East or NFC East or whatever, they all play the same time slot, which I think is obviously goes without saying a fantastic rule, much like the commissioner's ability to award a double forfeit, as we'll get to later, Tony. But for my 2-point side, I'm going to go to South Beach, and I am going to play the Miami Dolphins plus 6.5. For this reason, Dangles, I do agree that the Pats should come out with their hair on fire and play extremely well. But Bill Belichick, as you know, is no dummy, and I'm sure he has people on staff maybe peeking over their shoulder at halftime. And if anything's right in the world, the Buffalo Bills should be absolutely hammering the New York Jets. So I believe the second half, we're going to see a lot of the Patriots players maybe taking a rest. I don't think Belichick cares about seeding. If he doesn't get a home game, of course.
Yeah.
And so when you think about Brian Flores, you think about the motivation Flores has. Not only is he going up against his ex-coach, not only has Tua is actually 2-0 in starts against the Patriots, and they've won 2 in a row against the Patriots. Now, I know last year was Cam Newton, this year was Mac in week one. But as we saw on Monday night, these guys are motivated to ensure they don't get losing records. Mm-hmm. Now, the Dolphins sit at 8-8. They can ensure not only a 9-8 winning season, but also back-to-back winning seasons.
Yep.
And I think that also attracts free agents like maybe, say, a Deshaun Watson in the offseason, maybe a little Tua trade action. So I think the Dolphins will be super motivated here. And this is just a straight fade of the Patriots in the second half. I do think the Patriots will somehow find a way to win this game. I really do. But I just think if the Patriots are smart and the Bills are hammering the Jets, which by definition they should be as a 17-point favorite, I think you might see him pull out the dogs a little bit. I think Cincinnati gets in the back door or makes it close. So give me the Dolphins plus 6.5.
Okie dokie. Dangles, you just went against your boys. What do you got for your 2-point side?
Well, I mean, I've got the Patriots minus 6.5.
Yes.
In Miami.
Because, yes. This could decide King of the Coast. This
because,
could
again,
decide
if you
King
don't think
Coast.
He wants to go to Miami and put a fork in this losing streak and do the job they need to do in order to be at least in a position to win the division, which can't happen if we win and if the Bills, Titans, and Chiefs all lose and give the bird to everyone who doubted that we couldn't win without Brady, I'm sorry, you just don't know this guy. Everyone's been asking, what's Bill Belichick's New Year's resolution? You know what it is? I'll fucking tell you what it is. It's to win a goddamn Super Bowl. Whether I think they're built for that or not is another discussion that we can have. But Belichick's New Year's resolution is to fucking win a boat, to win a yacht, to win a tugboat, to win a small water-faring vehicle of some sort of vessel. He wants a ship. And
A vessel.
He wants a ship, a boat, a yacht. And Miami's offense can't do anything except run RPOs. They stink at pretty much everything. I think the Patriots are pulling out all the stops. Belichick wants all of the smoke in this game. He's not gonna want to end a season having lost twice to a division rival, especially the Miami Dolphins, especially after all of the trouble that they've had there. Tua stinks. The Dolphins stink. Go Pats. We're winning by more than a touchdown, or at least a touchdown. What do I need? 7 points? Give me 7 points.
New England 6.5 is Dangles' pick. Miami plus 6.5 is Drew's pick. Both are worth 2 points. Oh, and you can't have a push it because you got the hook there. Oh, doctor, that could be the decision maker in King of the Coast. My 2 points side for the guy who resides in third place. Listen, I write regularly for the Gaming Society. You can subscribe to the Gaming Society newsletter, get my funny anecdotes in 500 words or less formats. And this week, I'm writing about the last week of the season. It's your last chance to bet on some of these really shitty teams. It's called the Toilet Bowl Teaser, and I'm having a lot of fun writing it. And I'm going to be betting on one of the games right here because as I was diving into it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I already gave out the Washington football team in my teaser, and I'm doubling the fuck down on it. The New York Giants are the worst team in the league. I know they don't have the worst record, but they are the. If you put them up against Jacksonville, if you put them up against New York Jets with Mike Glennon back there and the team that they have, they would lose those games straight up. They're going to get demolished by this Washington football team because Joe Judge might say they don't got golf clubs and they're not making vacation plans. I guarantee you in the text threads that Joe Judge isn't a part of, they're making plans to go to Cabo immediately on Monday.
And they're golfing.
The Giants suck. They don't want to play anymore, especially for this head coach. I can't believe he's going to keep his job. The Washington football team does want to play. They didn't achieve what they wanted to achieve. They do like Ron Rivera. They do like each other, even if they're fighting on the sidelines. The passion is there. Football team -7 at New York Giants is my 2-point side. Never been more excited for it. Can't wait to not watch a second of it. Let's move on to the total. Schaefer the Sharp. Have at you, buddy. Now, you're a winner when it comes to totals. You're 9-7 on the year, but let's see if you can get to 10 wins. What do you got?
Well, guys, you guys know I'm the under. As you know, I aspire to have an elevator in my house one day and will be paid for through betting unders, specifically first half unders. I went to bet this Falcons Saints under, and I couldn't help but think last time I bet this game total, they scored like 24 points in the fourth quarter, and something just seemed fishy. So I'm actually going to zig here. I'm going to play an over.
Oh.
And what Dangle said about Seattle, I think, is correct. And it kind of correlates with my over. I'm taking over 48 in Arizona and Seattle. Seattle has scored 30-plus points in 3 out of their last 5 games. And in that stretch, they managed to give up 25 points to the Bears and 29 points to Tim fucking Boyle, okay, and the Lions. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me that defense, you often hear this in coaching or the more you rebound, that coach, defense, rebounding in the NBA, hustle plays in hockey, it's effort, right? It's effort.
Yes.
Seattle's defense, it's just they're not trying anymore. I think they're just trying to get off the field. Meanwhile, the offense, as Dangle said, I think Russ, I think if he's auditioning, obviously he doesn't need to audition. He's a straight to offer guy at this point in his career. But I do think he's got nothing to lose. He's going to let it rip. He's going to throw it deep. He's going to play loose. Now, the Cardinals really got back on track last week. A nice win against the Cowboys. They obviously have a ton to play for. I do think the Seahawks keep this close where Seattle's going to need to score. And I just think I see a lot of points in this game, especially with Russ slinging it downfield. Over 48, 2-point side.
All right. Okay, Schaefer, you're 5-3 on overs this season, so you got a good feeling when you do occasionally take that over. Interested to see how it works out for you. You are 2-4 when betting both of those teams, Seahawks and Cardinals. Dangles, you're not doing too well on totals. 7-10 is your worst part of your gambling game so far this season, but you can turn around here. You need to keep up with the Joneses and beat Drew. What do you have for your total for week 18?
Well, they don't call me dangly squares now, do they, with these square-ass totals we're taking here? I think I'm gonna for my total this week, I'm gonna go with the under on Bears Vikings at 44.5. I'm sorry, what? These teams are not scoring 44, 45 points. I just don't see that happening. The Vikings, do we know who's starting for a quarterback for them? It's not gonna be Kellen Mond, I'll tell you that right now.
It's Kirk. It is Justin Fields.
It's gonna be Kirk and Justin Fields. Even so, the Bears have nothing to play for. The Vikings are out of it. I just don't see this game being a very high-scoring game between these two teams, and I think the Bears could very easily go out there and just lay a complete egg and score 3 points. I've got the under in this game at 44.5.
Ah, that stinks, Dangles. That really stinks. I wanted to stay away. The point of this for me to catch up is I have to hit my bets, but I also need you guys to lose, and the best way to do that is to stay away from your cards. We already share Washington football team, and now we share the exact same under. Schaefer the Sharp is rooting for Purple Fever once more because I have Chicago and Minnesota under 44. Do you get 44.5, Dangles? Because I'll take the half point.
I have four. Yeah, sure. I'll give you 4.5. I have it right here on DraftKings Sportsbook Wednesday.
Thank you, DraftKings. I'll take that half point. Listen, the Chicago Bears offense arguably has been worse when Justin Fields has been on the field.
Yes.
Now, that's not a curse against him. I do think Fields has a future in this league, but obviously the timing is not right now. This Minnesota defense, Drew said, defense is about effort. The question is, does this team have the effort in it to try and stop Justin Fields from running around? I do believe Eric Kendricks and Harrison Smith, the veterans on that team, are going to play their hearts out in what could be their last game under Mike Zimmer, and definitely the last game under Matt Nagy for the Chicago Bears. Robert Quinn has some incentives in his contract. He's having a great year, as do some of the other Bears defensive players. I just think it's all about the defense in this game. And even if Minnesota blows them out, I don't think Chicago gets to double digits the way Matt Nagy's running that offense. Chicago and Minnesota under 44.5 is my total of the week. But drum roll, please, gentlemen. It's time to back up the Brinks truck. Schaefer the Sharp. The reason you're leading in King of the Coast is not because you have the best betting record on the show. It's because you keep hitting these Brinks truck bets. 10-7 on the year with Brinks truck bets. What do you got for this week? Lead us off. This could mean your title in King of the Coast.
Well, I appreciate it, Tony. 10-7 in the Brinks trucks bets. And I'd be remiss to say in the last week of the Circa Millions contest that I proudly display my picks with my son, Cole. It's been super fun doing that the whole year. I am literally 42-42-1. Okay. So I am desperately, it means something to me. Like, I was in this contest 2019. I didn't get above 500. So I'm really hoping for a three win week here. And this is probably going to be my best pick of that contest. I'm going to do my Tom Rinaldi voice here. Imagine a world where in 2018, a team lost to a superior team with CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins as the quarterbacks. That team went 4-12. The Los Angeles Rams went on to be 13-3 and Super Bowl runner up. Since then, this Los Angeles Rams team has lost 5 straight games to that same opponent with an average point differential of nearly 10 points. Okay. What are we talking about here? Back up the Brinks truck. San Francisco 49ers +5. Probably one of the best picks of the year. If you don't take it, you're just an idiot. Sorry, Tony Squares. I know you got a little I know you got a little extra incentive there in the winner's pool. Kyle Shanahan eats Sean McVay's lunch. The only time Sean McVay has beat Kyle Shanahan is with CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins. Now, I do not like Trey Lance. And if you're a San Francisco 49ers fan, I have a couple in my life, don't send me a Twitter highlight of Trey Lance rolling out into an empty pocket, crow hopping, and throwing about 65 yards to wide open Deebo Samuel. It doesn't impress me. It does not impress me. I think they're just trying to make themselves feel better that they mortgaged their future to move up 9 fucking slots to take a quarterback that has 13 starts at an FCS school. I'm not saying Trey Lance is going to be bad. I'm saying that guy is not ready to be an NFL quarterback right now. I think this comes down to this. Shanahan, game plan against McVay has been superior. Like I said, the stats don't lie. Five straight wins straight up against the Rams. But this is the caveat. Who's the Rams quarterback? Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
Who's watched more Matthew Stafford than anyone the last 12 years? I have. I know what it's like. When he starts throwing pick sixes and he starts getting loose with the football like he has the last 2 weeks, you better hold your freaking breath. I don't care if they have Cooper Kupp. I don't care if they have Odell Beckham Jr. This Rams team is live to lose. I know they have everything to play for. I know the San Francisco 49ers have everything to play for. This is one of the worst lines of the year. San Francisco plus +5. Back it up! King of the Coast, champ! You know it!
Well, Shave of the Sharp, I hate to do this to you, and by hate to do this, I mean love to do this to you. DraftKings, the current line is actually plus +4.5, so you won't be getting that plus +5. You're at plus +4.5 with the San Francisco 49ers.
That's not
true. Love you to death. Ram it, baby. Diggity Dangles, what do you got?
God. Well, I mean, how can we... Look... I have the Niners plus +5 as my Brinks truck right now. That is written down. You can go look at the edit history on my Google Doc where I keep my show notes. I have San Francisco plus
+5. I'm
sorry,
Daniel. We got plus +5. Now, that's bullshit. I got
that's,
plus
hold on. No, but that's fine. I'll take it at plus +4.5. I wrote it down at plus that's +5. Stupid. It's 4.5 now.
I literally had it wrote it down. But, I wrote it down like literally 5 minutes before I fucking recorded.
I got the lines in front of me.
I'm looking at it too. It's 4.5 right now. And it's changed since we started the recording of the show. However,
Does that stink? No.
That said, I am willing to take the Rams, make this a pizza bet, make this interesting.
No. Take the Niners.
Why not? You want to make this fun?
No, because I want the Rams to win and give me a chance to come in, because I know my Brinks truck is hitting and it ain't on the Rams, baby.
Well, I don't really care what you want, Tony, or what puts you in a position to win. I'm more interested in what you think, Schaefer the Sharp, here, because you and I are actually competing to win this
thing. You already have
the
head-to-head Miami-New England Dangles.
So, well, but this makes it even more interesting, does it not?
No,
I'm just making the offer. All right, fine. Niners plus +4.5 is my bet for all the reasons that you said. Drew Shanahan has been McVay's daddy in this rivalry. The Niners are actually fighting for their playoff lives, while the Rams, it'd be nice to win, but they don't need the win here. And frankly, I do worry about Matthew Stafford and the way that he's been throwing the ball over the last couple of weeks and all of these interceptions that he's been throwing. The only question I have here is does the Niners defense actually show up to play here? Does their secondary show up to play? They seem to find a way every single week to somehow stay in these games, even though they don't really have anybody back there in the secondary for them. So I like them to cover the spread here at plus +4.5.
Oh, this is great. If it lands at five,
I'm going to murder somebody. It was five like 10 minutes ago.
Ram it. Do you know how to ram it? You mean all I got to do on Sunday to hopefully get a chance to do this? All I got to do is root for a team that I have in the winner's league to win by 4.5. Oh, doctor, let's go Rams.
They have to win two there, Tony Squares.
By 4.5. Let's go, baby. You say, Drew, it's the best side of the year. Go for it, my guy. It's your game of the year. I hope you get it right.
It's the best number.
I'm excited
for
you.
Not the side, it's the best number.
But let's close it with a game that I know is going to hit. And listen, it's week 18. Sometimes you don't know who's playing. Sometimes you don't know who's sitting. Maybe, you know, so-and-so plays a little bit like a preseason game, sits half of it. You get to see the young stud rookie QB that you have that you only saw once against Kansas City, and he played like dog shit. You want to give him a second chance against the worst team in the league, and they're trying hard, too, because it's Dan Campbell and yada yada, and they're rah-rahing all over the place, but their quarterback is Tim Boyle, a guy who used to be in your neighborhood who sucks so bad you got to kick him down, kick his ass out the road. Now he's playing against you in week 18, or it's Jared Goff, a guy you lambasted in the playoffs last week. Your defense has been struggling. You want to end on a high note. You got Jair Alexander coming back. You got David Bakhtiari coming back, getting some reps in before the season is done. The Green Bay Football Packers. The Green Bay goddamn Football Packers at minus -3.5. I'm not going to take them on the first half when Aaron Rodgers is playing. I'm taking them in the whole game because they're going to go up by 30 in this game and then then Rodgers is going to sit down, wait to play in 2 weeks, and Jordan Love's going to come in and just drive the boat forward. A.J. Dillon's going to run for 150 yards in this game and two more touchdowns. I'm so excited to watch this Packers team go in and beat the Brinks truck off of the Detroit Lions and win five games in the division like the rightful owners that they are. My Brinks truck bet in a game that I need, in a competition that I am behind on, who am I going to rely on other than the Green Bay Packers? -3.5 at Drew's Detroit Lions. Go, Pack, go. What do you think about that, Sharp?
Let me just double check the line. Oh, turns out it's -4.
No, it's not. It's 3.5.
Also, who gives a flying fuck about this game?
Nobody. That's why I'm taking it. I knew you guys wouldn't touch in this game.
Me and Tony care a little bit about it.
I sincerely hope that Aaron Rodgers sits after he got made fun of by a football writer because he's so upset that he sits the game out and he doesn't want to play. And Jordan Love starts, because if Jordan Love starts, the Lions are covering.
Dangles, that's a great point, actually, that you brought up. That Chicago reporter who has an MVP vote said he's not voting for Aaron Rodgers because he's a jerk, and then Aaron Rodgers today comes out and calls him a bum. We all know Aaron Rodgers, like Tom Brady, likes...
You're a meanie head. Well, you're a stupid head.
He likes to hold grudges, and wouldn't it be nice to come out and just say, hey, who's the MVP of this league? Let me throw four touchdown passes in the first half. See you later. Detroit's not scoring 28. I love this bet. Green Bay -3.5
when I deigned to suggest that Aaron Rodgers might win another MVP.
Oh, Dangles,
after
I still
all
think
of this,
he doesn't.
You laughed at me.
Dangles,
and
I still think
win.
He doesn't. I still
he's
think
he's going to win.
Listen, I think there's enough people out there who think like Hub, Ari, whatever his name is, that won't say anything and won't have Aaron Rodgers on their ballot because they think he's a jerk and lied to the media. Dangles, the media is a feisty bunch, my guy.
I think he's the MVP. I work for them.
I think he's the MVP. I don't think he wins the MVP, but that case is yet to be solved. Green Bay -3.5 at Detroit is going to happen, but that's it for the King of the Coast, and that's it for this show, and that's it for the regular season. Listen, don't cry because it happened. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
You would be a don't cry because it happened kind of person, Tony Squares.
Let's end the show. We'll be back next week for some fun playoff bets, some fun playoff shows. Excited to see the final few weeks of the season, but first we got to get through Washington football at New York Giants. Let's do it, baby, and thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.